So my title, first part of it anyway, comes from a story that I'm pretty sure I heard in church, and I have to admit that Google let me down terribly. I tried searching all sorts of different ways and could not find this story. I think it might be a Zen story, but I'm not sure. And I only sort of remember enough to give you an outline of it. But here we go. The story definitely comes from a place in the world where when people feel like they're having a hard time, when they're not their best selves, but they're their struggling selves, there's a tradition of arranging to take off from your ordinary life and go on a trip, often up the mountain, where somehow up on high mountains the wise people live. You go up and you visit the wise man or the wise woman, and you take your questions, you take your worries, your concerns. So once upon a time, there was a woman. I kind of like to think she was maybe about my age, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older. And she went up to see the wise one living on top of her local mountain. And she had to make lots of arrangements at home, to make sure her absence was covered, of course. And she climbs up the mountain one day. She gets to the top, and she has to wait in line because there's a couple of other people there consulting with the wise man. And it's finally her turn. And he says, "Oh, come in to my little cave here and sit down and let's chat. Why are you here?" She said, "Well, I spent all, the whole way up the mountain trying to figure out how to tell you what's wrong with my life. And frankly, actually, my life is really pretty good. I have a reasonably happy marriage, and my kids are thriving, and I'm not the most respected person in the village, but I'm not the least respected either, and I have work to do that most of the time it's all right with me to do it, and life is pretty good, but I just have this one little problem. It's, those times in between this and that, when something changes, my life is really great, but I just have this little problem with transition." And the wise one kind of chuckles and says, "But my dear, it's all transition." It's all transition. And I probably remember this story because I really needed it. And I've been trying, this week putting this together, trying to trace my struggle with transition to see if maybe like hearing that story is what helped me turn a corner, and I can't tell for sure. But I don't groove on change as much as some people do. And I also notice when things change. I know these chairs aren't set up exactly the same way they were last month when I was here. I'm one of those people who kind of just notices things like that. I think I wanted to preach about that. A lot of times, this is just insider tip, a lot of times we people who go around talking like this to people, we're actually talking the things we need to hear, the things we need to work on. So this summer, I thought, well, maybe it's time to do this thing about transition, because I, for a long time, just hated summer. It took me actually a while to, a cycle of many years of my adulthood to understand, oh, I'm in a bad mood in May because summer is about to happen. And I don't like summer. I don't trust summer. In my own life, a lot of hard things happened in the summertime. I grew up military, so often we were moving. Not every summer, not by a long shot, but we did have a lot of transitions during my teenage and young adult years. It just happened that my father's career, that we moved several times when I was in high school. So that was hard. And those moves always happen in the summertime, always. And it's a lot of disruption, and it's a lot of work to try to maintain some family routine and stability in our lives. My mother was just masterful. She always had her list, and before we ever got somewhere new, she had figured out where the orthodontist was, the dentist, the Girl Scout troop leaders, she had it all lined up so we could try to, slide right in. But you leave your friends. If you've made moves, most of you have made moves, it's just tough. And we did this a few times. for me, school kind of became the thing that was manageable. And then when I was in college, my father died in July. It was a long time ago now, so this is not real hard for me to talk about. It was 35 years ago, this week. But the family had also just moved, and I had just finished a year of college, and so all this transition, it was just, and I went home to a new place that didn't feel like home, and it was just hard. So, you know, a few years after that, I realized I just get cranky every summer. And anybody who knows anything about grief will tell you the anniversary reactions are kind of very real. When you have a big something in your life, on the anniversary of that, it tends to come up. So this summer, my son is the age that I was when my father died. I realized this in May. I go, oh yeah, this would be a good year to be really nice to myself. But I also, there was a death of one of the really important elders in the congregation at First UU Nashville. And the family arranged the memorial to be at a time when none of the regular ministers were available. They were on vacation or employed. And so I got called to work on this memorial service. So I'm thinking about death and what death is a big transition. And my children are getting older. So I'm thinking, I'm remembering when they were little. But I'm also like watching, my son is becoming an adult. He's 19, he's finished a year of college is a big deal. He's working on someone's political campaign in Nashville, and he's coming home with his own stories about things I know nothing about. And my daughter is getting ready to go to high school, and she doesn't know where she's going yet. She's on a waiting list for a magnet school. We like our zone school fine, so we're not really sure what to want, and we don't know. And it's getting late in the summer, we probably won't get that call from that waiting list, but she's high enough up the waiting list, it could happen. So we're in this, well, I don't know what's gonna happen. And I have some professional things kind of in the works that maybe they'll happen and maybe, I'm sitting here, you know, preparing to celebrate someone's life and death with their family and waiting to see what happens with my daughter, waiting to see what happens with me. And I'm like, oh, this is like summer. Things are happening, and I don't like change, and I always want to try to think ahead into the future. So what's going to happen, and how can I make it easier, and how can I make sure I'm ready, and how can I make sure everybody who's I'm responsible to is covered with whatever they need? And I was, oh, yeah, this is a but-it's-all-transition moment. But the point of this story, The transitions are real, and the big ones are really, they're big. But the point of the story is that everything is transition. And in this moment, this summer, I'm realizing I'm not suffering the way I would have if this summer had happened 10 years ago. And some of that, at some point, I don't remember, several years back, I remember thinking, I would tell people, I just hate summer. I just hate summer. I would just say that every year, once or twice, to somebody I was talking to. And I realized one summer, oh, you know what? I probably need a new story about summer. I don't need to tell myself over and over again that I hate summer. So I think I've kind of rewritten that. And life hasn't slowed down. It's still all transition. I think having children, it's one of the hardest things I've done, one of the best, but man, that's transition all the time. When Dylan was just a few months old, I was on the phone complaining to a mom friend who was just like 8 months ahead of me on that mom curve about something, probably his nap schedule or lack thereof. And she said, Denise, he's a baby. If you don't like something, just wait, it's gonna change. She's like, oh. And that she was really right. And it changes a lot the first couple of years, but it never really stops. So I think I've learned as I've gotten older to kind of live with more of that transition. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. But I have trouble with those times that are in between, especially when I'm just waiting and I have no control. And it's been good for me to revisit this story about it being all transition. Because I think we forget, or at least I have, I sort of fall into, and I think a lot of us do, this idea that there is such a thing as a good life. you know, a good life. And something right now, the mood, if you're reading on people's blogs and articles and such online, a good life has a lot to do with good habits. You know, if you can just find the right planner page to log your habit, to keep track of your habits, you're going to be all set. This is the story we're telling right now. But I'm kind of skeptical. I don't want to diss the whole habit thing. I think it's actually really important work, and understanding why we do things habitually and how we can shift things can be really freeing and wonderful and productive, and it can lead to something we might call a good life. But being hyper-focused on that, believing that story that if we just get it right, it's going to be different than it is now, struggling in this idea that if I just get all the habits right, maybe I won't have to deal with change anymore. I'll have a solid foundation, and I won't have to feel uncomfortable when something is different. I think that thinking that I can get away from having a problem with transition is maybe, or getting away from having to deal with transition. Saying I have a problem with transition is, I'm going to shamelessly borrow from a couple of things people said during Joys and Concerns, so I apologize in advance, but I think saying I have a problem with transition is kind of like saying I have a problem with gravity. You know, it just is. We don't get to pick. There are going to be transitions. And so the question then becomes, how do we help ourselves live with that? How do we live gracefully and wisely in light of all of those transitions? So change is, it's there. And I think there are lots and lots of voices in our culture that tell us we can manage it. We can organize better, we can make better lists, we can create better habits. And then there are these other realities of life. And I find the Zen tradition really more helpful, thinking about change and transition, than most of Western thought. I found a story, which would just kind of, I'm not sure how to process it yet, so we can maybe all do that together. Maybe some of you will want to talk about it afterwards. But there's a Zen story with a man in a boat. He's out on a body of water somewhere, enjoying a wonderful morning, the sun coming up on the water, and he's having a good moment, if not a good life. This is one of those moments you want to have in the middle of a life. And he sees a boat off in the distance, and it's coming toward him. And his first reaction is, oh, look, somebody else is out enjoying this beautiful morning. That's great. Then after a while, this boat is coming straight for him, and it's coming faster. And he still can't see it very far, but he knows it's, and it keeps getting closer, and it's not adjusting course, and it's getting close. So he's shouting, hey, hey, hey. He's standing up in his boat shouting, hey. And the boat just keeps coming. And it gets almost to him. And it does, I'll just let you know, the end of the story, it hits him. It just runs right into his boat. There is nobody in that boat. He sees something coming, and he thinks he can control whether or not it comes at him. He thinks he can yell. There's a person in the boat. It's a boat. There's a person in it. I can do something to change that boat's course. Well, it turns out, no. Just no. And this isn't meant to be a story about disaster. It's just meant to be a story about that realization that sometimes there's nothing to do but to be in the moment you're in. I guess he could have sat down and rode away and think about that. But that's not the point of this Zen story. Anyway, it's just we make assumptions and we act, there's a boat, there must be a person, so we can do. But sometimes it is not as we think, and things are going to come at us, and it's going to happen, and it will be what it will be. And that's really hard, because it's also important to choose to act wisely in our world, to choose to create change. These are things we do. So this is a real tension. I think it's just part of the problem of being human. And I don't mean problem as in something that can be fixed or solved. It's just the reality of being human. It is what it is to be us. I think in terms of maybe learning to accept transition, to recognize it as part of life instead of making it a problem, it helps me, and I'll be curious if this actually makes any sense to the rest of you. I don't think in getting to where we want to go, there is something, much of it is about unhooking from what external appearances of success look like. Because we all know when you buy into those too much, I hope you know, if you buy into those too thoroughly, you end up with this long, long to-do list and lots of people you've disappointed because you haven't done what they thought what you think they wanted you to do or needed you to do. I think it also doesn't have to do with what I've called feeling good about my own life. And I would have at some point thought, well, it doesn't matter what you think about my life as much as what I think about my life matters. And while I think that's true, I don't think that's quite getting me to the point where I'm unhooked from that problem with transition. It does have something to do with how I feel, but feeling about my life, how I feel about my life. Do I feel good that I got a promotion or got a new job or got a this or bought a that or accomplished something? Having to, do I feel good about this? How do I feel about this? Hooks in our evaluative brain where we're making judgments. And that's different than being in the moment. And this is, I think, why I sort of resonate with a lot of the Buddhist tradition, where the focus is very much on being in the moment and recognizing the moment as what is real now. Presence right now, right here, is sort of the point of most Buddhist practice. And my hunch is that if we're going to get over having problems with gravity and problems with transition, we have to learn how to do that. At least once in a while, we need to sit in that, the peace of knowing that we are here. And it has something to do with humility, with knowing and understanding who we are, and that's in relationship to the rest of the world, and it's in relationship to both our best selves and our struggling selves. That was a really nice opening. Jill, I'm assuming you wrote that. No? Well, wherever it came from, it's really nice. Thank you, Anna. It's that our struggling selves and our best selves, but they both have to deal with transition. But there's this, I tried to come up with a list. So what do we need to feel at home and to not have a problem with transition? And I don't know quite how to describe it because it is actually a felt sense. I've often used the word centered for it. Balanced is another thing. I think we are always looking for balance. In the Western philosophical tradition, they talk about the middle way, not too much this, not too much that. So talking about balance between the self alone and the self in connection, or balance between activity and passivity, between doing and yielding to what is, balance between being a thinker and being a body, that's been huge in my life, balance between flexibility and pattern. And here I've been thinking about some of the neuroscience stuff I've been reading lately. It's fascinating, our brains, there's so much sensory stimulation, just for example, that we don't even notice most of the time. Our brains select what it is we need to notice in order to survive, or notice in order to do the things we've decided are important to do. But there are lots of other options. But if we were so flexible as to be able to choose in every given moment what to pay attention to, I wouldn't have anything to say this morning. We'd all just sit around going, it's worse than squirrel mind. Yeah, there's just too much. So we actually need some of this patterning, some of what in the extreme becomes rigidity, where you just can't take in new information that doesn't fit your current story. So we need that, but we also need flexibility. And there are some people starting to think about things like depression and anxiety and compulsive and obsessive patterns, that maybe that has to do with parts of the brain that just get a little too locked into the way they're used to working. So maybe some transition, some shaking things up, is actually a good thing for us, is what they're thinking. I think here stories can be really helpful in finding that balance. I love the story we heard, the dumpster diving, and you know, but you know, if dumpster diving leads to injury, there are some other options. We can knock on doors and ask for the good stuff before it gets thrown in the trash. Yay! So we can rewrite the story of who we are and what our roles are. And that, so storytelling, it can be bad. Like when my story becomes I hate summer, and I tell that story over and over again for years, I maybe had a few more rough summers than I needed to, except maybe I needed to get to where I could leave them. This summer, by the way, is kind of fun. It's the good things are happening, and it's good, even with lots of transition going on. So balance is one of those ways that I kind of, I think, helps us learn to live with transition instead of having a problem with it. Centering is an old word. And these are all, by the way, words that get used in the context of spiritual practice, which is part of why I thought this is a good thing to talk about in church. The one that I think resonates the most for me right now is grounding. And some of that is just, it's because I hear that word a lot now. I had a friend who's going through a huge life transition, and the kind of transition that's really big, it's been brewing for years. She's not just brewing, but working on and moving toward and gathering information and setting up new life practices. And she recently had a last meeting with one of the people on her team of advisors and coaches, and this coach said, what will you do in the next few months when some big official stuff is happening to keep yourself grounded? That's a great question. She told me her first answer to this coach was a long list of things. And it had a lot of similarity to those lists of habits you see. Habits you're supposed to, you know, do yoga every morning, drink this much water, eat this way, exercise this much, do, you know. And the coach listened to her for a while and then said, no, I kind of met what one small, specific, doable thing will you do? And sometimes that's what we need. I feel sometimes overwhelmed by the menu of possibilities for me in having a good day or a productive week or a good life. And I feel like there's so many different ways. And sometimes I don't get to any of it because I'm trying to figure out which one to get to first. So sometimes it's about choosing a practice. And the right practice for me won't be the same as the right practice for you. You'll have to do your own discernment around what's missing in your life. What will help you feel more present to your life and to the world right where you encounter it? And what will create just a little bit of a shakeup in the rigid patterns of your mind. I think at the core, these are things that help are the things that are actually just, they're required for well-being. And again, different people make different lists of this. My list may or may not be yours. Some of the things I think are on that list are enough sleep. This is one of the things I'm currently struggling with. Good food and drink. Warmth, both physical and emotional warmth. Safety, movement. A lot of these you'll notice have to do with our bodies. I think we tend to get stuck in our heads, and by we I mean Westerners in general, but you use for sure. We tend to be, we like the intellect. It's a really great toy. But we get stuck there sometimes. It's useful, but we need to remember that we live in our bodies. And our bodies are connected with the world around us as much or more than our brains are. You'll notice I start making this list, it gets really long. It can become a distraction. It can become like this checklist of things I have to make sure I do so everybody knows I'm not faking it. I'm really having a good life, really, truly. And that's not where we want to go either. It's very hard to stop and be present. And I think that's why when I, at the end of the day, when I come down to, so what helps us to accept transition and not have a problem with it, to honor gravity and not be worried about it? Sometimes it's just whatever it is you can do and do again and do again and do again that reminds you of who you are and where you are. So it may be meditation for 5 minutes every day. It might be coming to church twice a month and being with a community that loves you and with whom you can show affection and love. It might be volunteering. I actually think volunteering might be a really key kind of interesting way to think about learning to live with transition. If you think about it, when you're volunteering, you're usually not in charge. You're usually doing work. It's often what's considered the less prestigious work, but I actually think sometimes the less prestigious work is actually better for us to be doing than the, you know, the planning, being in charge, bossing people around work. Making coffee is a ministry, right? Bringing the goldfish, buying the goldfish. These feed the community and making a commitment to show up for something small that you can do can be a way to know yourself in connection to other people and to contribute to the world in a small way. And that, I think, makes transition bearable is what I'm going to say. And that's a really big claim. But I think sometimes accepting that life is always changing, it's just this interior shift. It's not big. And it's really huge at the same time. I think sometimes that some of the earth-centered spiritual traditions are so much wiser on this, in large part because they're so tied to the cycles of nature. The years and the moon, you think about the moon, is always changing. And sometimes you can see it and sometimes you can't and you don't have any control. And there's this great, big, really cool eclipse happening and we are on the wrong side of the world to see it. And that's just the way it is. I can have a problem with that, or I can just say that's the way it is. And the last really cool one I got to see and other people didn't. So, but there is something about engaging concretely with nature. And I've heard so many UUs that's being out somewhere in the mountains, at the beach, on the river. That's their sacred space and time. And that speaks to, I think, oh gosh, just go watch a river. Just go Google river and see what you come up with on YouTube. You'll find lots of inspiration for letting go, and the river's gonna go, and you can also go back to Greek philosophy, and yeah, you know, we're told you can't step in the same river twice because the river's different and so are you. And that's what this story is about. This story about, oh, my life is really good, da-da-da, here's the list, I checked it all off, it's really good, but I have this little trouble when things change. They always change. And if you're going to have trouble when they change, you're going to have trouble. and that's true. At least it has been for me. And what helps is finding small ways to balance, to be present, to ground, to sit still sometimes. Reading for me sometimes helps and sometimes gets me way far away because it turns on my brain and I start evaluating, is this well written? Is this a good argument? Will this be good in a sermon? Will this preach? And I'm suddenly way far away. I mean, you can also think about this, does it put you in the past or does it put you in the future? Or does it put you right here? We need to spend a good amount of time here. And I think we have to be intentional about most of us. Kids are really good at just being here now, but as we get to be adults, we tend to, and our survival kind of depends on being able to look back and look forward, but we need to regularly, to not have a problem with transition, we regularly have to come back and practice something. For me, at the end of the day, what it feels like right now in my life is learning to hold things lightly. So I have certain expectations or hopes. And I'll say, okay, I have to think about what will it take for me to hold this lightly? Which means I don't say, I don't want this to happen, or this doesn't matter to me. I say it matters, and it might not come to be. Or I love having it now, but I might not have it tomorrow. And neither undercutting the joy and the love and the peace that I have now, nor denying that all of that could change for any number of reasons at any time. And learning to live with that, because this is actually just where we live. It just is the way things are. And I think it's a real trick. And I think religion is part of the reason we do religion. And I do think we do religion. Some people have, or we do spirituality. It's, people have different relationships with the word religion. And that's fine. But we do these things where we're thinking about what is important. And we do them because they help us live better lives. And it doesn't really matter exactly what it is you do. And I love this real short little Zen poem. And I don't know when it's from, but it's somebody named Shinsho. Does one really have to fret about enlightenment? No matter what road I travel, I'm going home. So it doesn't matter how you jump off the ground, the gravity's going to pull you back down. Gravity's going to happen, transition's going to happen, home is coming. And the most amazing, smallest things can be miracles. Miracles in the sense that they bring us back to this place where we are okay, where we know that we are, and that we are connected, and that we are present. And I just want to leave you with Thich Nhat Hanh, because I'm sure I've read this to you sometime in the last 2-3 years, but I'm going to do it again because it's one of my faves. It's from the book Teaching Peace. Our true home is the present moment. To live in the present moment is a miracle. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth in the present moment to appreciate the peace and beauty that are available now. Peace is all around us, in the world and in nature, and within us, in our bodies and our spirits. Once we learn to touch this peace, we will be healed and transformed. It is not a matter of faith. It is a matter of practice. So I encourage you, as you leave this place today, to consider how you can practice the art of good transitions. How you can practice knowing that everything changes, and that is what it is. And so that is sacred. May it be so.